good to be here. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the large group that's here. And for all the children that are here, that's a real blessing for us. And we're thankful for the fact that the Lord has allowed us to come and to fellowship with you. I've enjoyed this week. Sue and I have. You've treated us royally. She'll probably put me on a strict diet when I get home, but we love the meals that we were able to share, and we're thankful. You know, I'm thankful for the day and the time that we live in. I'm thankful for the fact that the church has been restored in these last days and that we have the scriptures before us. They're showing us the will of God in our life and the plan of salvation. We read in the 19th chapter of Alma in 71st verse, I think it is. Yeah, on page 451, it's just a short verse. Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. God has a plan of salvation. He's an unchangeable God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since the beginning of time, he has had the plan of salvation. He has prepared for a way that we would be brought back from the fall through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And that way has been established, and that way is sure and is true. But he's prepared it for us. But we have to have the will and the desire to follow his commandments. We must walk in that path to be saved. We must follow the example of Jesus Christ. We must endure to the end. We read in Matthew, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, tells us that the way. It says, enter ye, in the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are raving wolves. You know, we talked in Sunday school about being watching, to giving heed, to know the situations that we're involved in and that we're part of, and to be watchful, to make sure that we don't stray from that straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. Even the example of Jesus Christ. We read in Book of Mormon, which is a second witness of Jesus Christ, in the second book of 2 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, page 162. And it says, and I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We have to continue on the path. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of living God, he cannot be saved. Jesus is our example. We have to measure our life. We have to be watchful that we're doing the things that he did and according to the things that he taught. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen your Lord and your Redeemer should do. Now, you know, this is written 500 and some years before the birth of Christ, but they had knowledge of Christ. And he's speaking of that, and he's taught on that. And for this cause that they've been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. Back to that straight and narrow path. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are you in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. You have entered in by the gate. You have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witness of the Father and the Son, unto fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, is all done? And he goes on and he says, no, it's not all done. We must continue to press forward. We must continue to be watchful. We must continue to feast upon the words of Christ, to have a perfect brightness of hope, of eternal life, that God has provided something beyond this life for you and I. He has prepared a spot for you and I. He's prepared it. His decree is that we'll have eternal life with him if we have the will, if we're prepared, if we enter in by the gate and endure. Very specific. You know, that scripture there in the 7th chapter of Matthew says it was a straight and narrow path. A secure passageway to eternal life. And there will be few that find it. Few. It must be difficult. Or not difficult, we must be diligent. We must be faithful. We must continue to watch and to pray and to supplicate and to search the scriptures and compare our life. Not only that we enter into the gate, but that we endure those things and continue on it. That we must continue to meet together, to fellowship, to discuss the things, to read the scriptures together, to get an understanding, to encourage one another, that we might be faithful even unto the end. And so that's the task that we have. And the reason is, in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 12th verse, John had a revelation from the beginning of time to the end of time. And although he lived after the time of Christ, at the time of Christ and continued, he lived longer, he had this revelation of things in the, even to the end times. In verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Everyone. Everybody is going to stand before God. It says the whole human family of Adam, we're going to stand before God. And it says the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The book of life is our name written in the book of life. Have we been numbered among the people of Jesus Christ? We're going to be judged according to our works by the things that Christ showed us an example and have been reserved in the scriptures. I believe these books are going to be opened. And our life is going to be open. A book of our life, and we're going to be judged according to the things that are written. How we lived, how we treated each other, how we treated our families and our loved ones. How do we treat those that despitefully used us and persecuted us? Have we done according to the scriptures? We're going to stand before God and be judged according to our works. It said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why this is important. That's why we have to endure. That's why we have to be watchful. That's why we have to be continually being tuning ourselves. It's, you know, like we're the old movies, you know, when they were tuning in the radio and we had to always go, you saw the radio guy, you know, Squeaks or whatever they call, Sparks, I guess they always called them, tuning it in. We have to tune our lives in to make sure that we're in tune to the teachings of Jesus Christ. So going back to Matthew, in the 7th chapter, 21st verse, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." We're to build our house upon the rock of Jesus Christ, having a sure foundation in his teachings, that we might follow his commandments, and that when we stand before the judgment bar of God, Christ will know that we're his and will tell the Father, "Father, these are those that you sent me." He won't say it, "I never knew you." This is important that we continue, that we encourage each other to continue to endure, to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to walk in the path. I'm hoping now today I'll remind us of some of the promises of God, bring us to be watchful of the time we live in, and to have a warning to us to be careful because of the forces of evil around us. Reflect on our own relationship with God and the need to study and to prepare ourselves for the day when we stand before God to be judged, because it's going to happen, each one of us, bar none. And it's important that we understand the things that have been preserved in the books, that it might be found well with us. We have a lot of theologians in the world that, I'm going to say, sometimes make all this very confusing. But I don't find it that way. I find it really straightforward. We have written in the second chapter of the book of Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, on a page 220, a few short scriptures. It says, believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. We're told in the scriptures that God, through Jesus Christ, created everything in the heavens and the earth. He gave Christ the power and authority to do that. And the only begotten of the Father was Christ, and all things were put in his charge. And we have to believe that God hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and on earth. With God, nothing is impossible. Believe that man cannot comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. We spend a lot of time sometimes trying to figure out things. Why did this happen? What would happen if we would do this? What about this and that? You know, a lot of concern. We don't comprehend all the things that the Lord can comprehend. We have to recognize that he is the one that's in charge, and we have to spend our time and our effort to ensure that we're studying and praying and we're staying on that path which leads to eternal life. and again believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. We must leave them, live a new life, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Pretty straightforward. I'd say all of us believe those things. Now we have to live it. We have to encourage and help each other and make sure we've entered in and on the path and we're walking according to the will of God. And now if you believe all those things, see that you would do. He says, and again I say unto you, as I have said before, that if you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and hath received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and his long suffering towards you unworthy creatures. That should really be us unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves in the depth of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And you shall grow up in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And it goes on. And if we do that, it'll tell us we won't have the desire to injure one another. We won't allow our children to go hungry or naked, you know. Or neither would we allow them to transgress the laws of God and quarrel and fight among themselves. But that we would teach them to the ways of truth and soberness. You know, we find in the switch over to page, I think it's on page 441. I'm looking for a scripture here. Seventeenth chapter of Alma. And Alma is talking to his son, Helaman. He said, now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken. He has spoken against the secret combinations and sins in the world, the forces of evil. Now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and be meek and lowly of heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Telling us we can overcome all those temptations placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's instructions from a father to a son to teach the people. Teach them never to be weary of good works, to serving one another. You know, we find that King Benjamin in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, was such a good example for us. Here he was the king of a people and a religious head. He was head of the church, the high priest of the church. But he served them. And he said, we serve God when we're serving one another. He didn't tax them. He worked out in the field just like them. He was a part of them. He was concerned for their soul's welfare. To teach them never to be weary of good works, to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest for their souls. You know, that should be our purpose. That should be our goal for ourselves and for those around us. He said, oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth, yea, and learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. And the youth here, each one of you, remember these words. Learn the wisdom. Learn the teachings of Jesus Christ in your youth. Those of you right here in this room, heed the words here that we're to learn in our youth. Why? Because we can take on the name of Jesus Christ and have a goal, not be caught up into things of the world as we grow older. We learn what is right and what is wrong and what the example of Jesus Christ is. It'll make us strong. We'll have a reason to resist the influences that abound us in our schools and in our society, where they call good bad and bad good. You know, those things that the world allows, many of them are against the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we're not to have any part of them. And it's easier to learn it in our youth. Another thing, it's for all of us. We're not going to get any younger. We're all in our youth. Learn those things and remember, gain wisdom. Let all your doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, and let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. We're to talk to the Lord. We're to communicate with the Lord concerning everything that we do, that he might direct us, that he might guide us by his Spirit. Those of us that have been baptized in the Church of Christ have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing. It's a Spirit that'll teach us all the things that we must do to obtain eternal life. It's a Spirit that'll be with us. We have to call on it. We can't have so much confusion in that in our life that we aren't listening. We have to be still and listen to a still small voice and allow him to direct us and follow those things. It's a blessing. He'll bless us in our youth. He'll bless us in our middle age, and he'll bless us in our old age. He'll always be with us. Yea, and when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. The decrees of God are unalterable, that whosoever will may enter therein and be saved. The promises of God are for every one of us if we yield, if we acknowledge him, if we put to practice these things that he's told us to do. He'll bless us. He goes on and gives some examples of don't be caught up in the easiness of the way. You know, I think he refers to here a couple things. You know, when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt and they were being attacked by poisonous snakes, what did he do? What saved them? To look. Right? He had a brazen cross or a stick or something, you know, and all they had to do was they were told, look up to that, and you'll be saved. And what did they do? Many of them didn't look. All they had to do was have faith and look up. That's an example for us. What we have to do is look up to Jesus Christ. When we're down in the dumps, when we don't know, when we're lost, when the serpents are around us and the poisonous snakes and the world is trying to destroy us, we have to look up to Jesus Christ. We have another example, and I think it's given here too, but I'm not sure. But it's the ball and the director that was given to Lehi. You remember the story? Who remembers what it was called? Liahona. Okay, can everybody say that? Liahona. Blake, say Liahona. No. That wasn't fair, was it? Okay. It said it was a ball of curious workmanship. We don't really know what it was like. But, you know, it worked by faith, didn't it? And it showed them the way to go. It showed them the safe passage. It brought them to a place that, you know, was a blast. They were in the wilderness, and they were wandering around, and they forgot to go to the Lord. And anyway, he had this ball, and he showed his sons, and they prayed. And when they had faith and prayed, the spindle worked like a compass, and it led them to the way that they were supposed to go. When they didn't do, when they were slothful and forget, like we do sometimes, they got lost. All they had to do is have faith and look. Just like all that, that's what we have to. It's lessons for us. You know, history repeats itself. To look up to Jesus Christ. And he'll bless us, he'll direct us in our life in all things. Okay. We're told in the scriptures, in many different places of the day and the time, you know, like in 2 Timothy and other places, but you know, warning. I'm going to read one of these, and it's in the book of Jude. And what am I doing here? That's the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's warning us. He's writing unto us, and he's telling us to be ready. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. We have to be proactive. We have to make it a part of our life. We have to be watchful. We have to watch and be unaware, be aware of the things, the forces of evil around us who change even the teachings of Jesus Christ, who make good, bad, bad, good. It abounds in our world today, and we have to be careful. I will therefore put you in remembrance, therefore you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believeth not. Now he's going to remind us of some things. Here are some people that didn't continue, that didn't stay steadfast, that didn't contend for the faith what they had been taught. And this is what happened. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even the angels that weren't steadfast were punished. Okay? Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, the society that they lived in, the homosexuality that they accepted, the things that they had turned themselves over completely away from the Lord. What happened to them? He destroyed them. We have to earnestly content. Only Lot contented, and he was saved. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and seek evil dignitaries. And it says, and he goes on, you know, he talks about the other ones. He talks about Enoch, you know, and seventh from Ammon. Adam prophesied these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that they are all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And he goes on, and who are these? Who are these? These are murmurers. Have you ever found yourself murmuring? Complaining? Talking about others? You know? Why do I have to do that? Or, you know, the ones in Egypt, you know, they were murmuring. They were complaining that God wasn't taking care of them. All they had was the manna every day, you know, and complain about this and complain about that, you know. Those are ungodly deeds. That's a sin to murmur. And we have to be aware. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. I'm going to say, we all do that. I do it. I catch myself doing it. Probably more than I should admit. You know, it's part of we like to blame everybody else for our problems. Isn't that true? You know, they did it. Complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust, telling us, when we separate ourselves, when we follow the example of Jesus Christ and are steadfast, when we heed, there are going to be those that are going to laugh at us. I venture to say everybody in this room has had that to some extent. They tell them you can't do something, you don't believe in something because the scriptures teach it. They kind of, what difference, you know. But the scriptures tell us there's a big difference. We have to contend. We have to fight against that. We have to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ and enjoy the love of Jesus Christ and the joy that we have in the fellowship with him and with the body of Christ. Feast upon those things, not on the things of the world. These be those who separate them since central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Ending to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. A warning of the forces of evil that are around us, a admonition to contend for the faith, and a reminder of the promises of God that he will not forsake his people, that he will remember us, he will lift us up, he'll provide for our safe passage on that straight and narrow path. We have a hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrew, that's been right there. I'm just going to read a couple fast verses. One from each of the first four books of the Hebrew. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's spoken to us in the times past by the prophets, but now he has spoken to us even by Jesus Christ and by his example. Chapter 2, the first verse says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Heed, to yield, to be aware of, to be concerned about, to watch for, to contend in the faith. Chapter 3, the first verse says, wherefore, holy brethren, partake of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We're to consider Jesus Christ in all our thoughts and all our activities. And why? Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Heed, be mindful. Accept the words that are preached, the things that are written in the scriptures, and put them to practice into our life. He'll know those who do the things that he has commanded. That he will recognize us when we stand before our Maker. We know that in our society today, the scriptures teach there will be cunning men, there'll be lawyers and judges and those of authority who set themselves up to get gain. They're accusing the righteous of unrighteous activities. You know, good will be bad, bad will be good. But we need to pray for those that have authority over us, those of our senators or congressmen or ministers or elected officials or our president or prime minister, or I don't know what all the Canadian officers are, but who they are. We're to pray for them. We're not to forget them in our prayers. Our prayers are those the things that will make the difference for our countries. We find that in the time of, maybe I have that quote right here. In the time of the Christ's resurrection, there were those that were spared on this continent because they were perfect. They were of the more righteous. The Lord had heard their prayers. And they were preserved and saved, and as an example. And so we have to remember the prayers of those around us. It may make a difference for them. They may be preserved in this time of trial. I'm going to switch or go over to Alma, 8th chapter. Yeah, I talked about that one. I was talking about the lawyers and that. We know that the American continent, at least the North American continent, okay, is the land of liberty that's spoken of in the scriptures. We believe it's what was talked about in the 49th chapter of Genesis, Joseph's land, okay. It was talked about in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. It's talked in the Book of Mormon. It says there's a land of liberty. And there was that God had preserved a land and a people for his purposes. Let's go over to page 717. Starting in verse 31 in the Book of Mormon, page 717, chapter 1 of the first book of Ether. Anybody know when Ether was written? 4,000 years ago, preserved for us today. Got some wonderful teachings in it. And here's one. He's talking about now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. Talking about the American land. That it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God. Or what? Or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. When our nation will be beyond salvage. Brother Mosher compared it to ripened in iniquity to a banana. Bananas can be hard and pre-ripened, and you can eat them, you can use them, you know, sell them and cook them. It can be ripe, you know, where it's sweet and delicious, and then it can start getting overripe and brown and everything, and some people like them like that. I don't particularly, but they can be used. You make banana bread and, you can still use them, but there comes a point and a time when a banana gets so ripe it's rotten, and all you can do is throw it away. It's ripened in iniquity to beyond the state of being useful. And when our nations become that, the fullness of the wrath of God will come upon them and they are ripened in iniquity. So we need to pray for our nations. It's important for us. It's important. I know we get discouraged sometimes, and I get discouraged. We don't think we have any control over things, but the Lord tells us to pray for them. That they might be used, that the Lord might be able to touch them, that there might be some righteous decisions that are made, and that they might lead them and not slowly change the laws of our countries to make the things which are bad, good, and the things that are good, bad. Because it's happening. It happens on a daily basis. Just the type of thing that Wayne was talking about, a being aware of that's happening. Okay? And well, we're to pray for them. And it says, "Oh, and this book," it says in verse 34, it's talking about the book, "cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you might repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness become, that you may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, or the inhabitants of the land, as the inhabitants of the land hath hereto done. Behold, this is a choice land. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written." A promise, a condemnation, a warning to us. To take heed to these things and pray that we might not be ripened in iniquity. Pray for our governments and those of our loved ones around us. We of the Church of Christ are to let our light shine. We're the light on the hill. We're the last opportunity. Where the purpose of restoring the church was that we would be sterling examples for him in the last days. And that there would be those that would see our righteous walk of life and desire it and come to Jesus Christ by our example. There are few of us in the world that there are. That's our charge. And we must be faithful. We must continue in prayer and ask for the Lord's direction and guidance in all things. And so we have to use these scriptures, these measuring tools that the Lord has given us, and live according to them. And to look in our daily lives to see if we're in accordance with the example of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the third chapter of Alma. I love this scripture. It's hard on me, but I do love it. But, you know, in the 27th verse, you know, he's talking to us. He's not talking to the world. He says, "Now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you been spiritually been born of God? Have you received his image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body?" Can you consider yourself standing before God and being judged? Can you imagine yourselves that you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do you imagine yourselves that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribune of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remission of all your guilt, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, and a remembrance that you have set at defiance the commandments of God? I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and a clean hand? We have to prepare ourselves as much as possible that we are able to look up to him in faith, knowing that we have tried everything that we can do. He says, when you have done all, then is my grace sufficient for you. We have a need to do the things. I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your own countenance? And then he goes on in the next couple of pages here. He relates, he asks, he has ourselves ask ourselves questions. Okay? I don't know if I expressed that correctly, but he puts it in questions to us. So I'm just going to read some of them. Verse 46. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if you have experienced a change of heart, and if you have felt the sing of the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Do we still feel the way we did the day we were baptized? Can we say we have that same determination, same desire? Have we grown, or have we allowed the world to separate us? Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Can you say if you were called to die at this time within yourself that you have been sufficiently humble? You know, we probably all fall short of that to some degree. But we have to work towards those. I mean, he knows our hearts. And we have to make that an earnest desire to come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and to do his will. Verse 50, have you been stripped of pride? If you have pride, you aren't prepared to meet God. goes on and on and on. But we should read those things. Read that, right? Make a note to read those things. Compare your life to that. And make corrections. That's why the scriptures are here. That's why we have them preserved for us. That we know until we do, we have to put them to practice. You know, he tells us in Ephesians in the 6th chapter to put on the whole armor of God because, you know, we're at war. We're at spiritual warfare. You know, and we've got to have faith. And we've got to, you know that the Lord will be with us. Read that 6th chapter starting in the 10th verse, you know, the armor of God. You know, I don't know if the Sunday school kids have ever done that, but, you know, that's a lesson for them. But, you know, it's good for us to remember it. I remember the kids at camp doing it. And I remember that I had read it, and they did one more thing than I ever remembered where it's in there. The last thing he said, and then they prayed. Remember, the kids from Phoenix did it, and they did all those things. They put on the armor, they put on the helmet, they put on the breastplate. And the devil still worked over to them, but when they had done all that and prayed, they were able to overcome. Those are preserved for you and I, that we would have them, that we'd put those things to practice in our life. It's not difficult to understand. Difficult to accomplish sometimes. But he has promised us that he will be with us. I'm going to turn to Alma in the 16th chapter. Sounded like the one we did already. I guess we read that in Sunday school. Is that the one you read? So, you know, for telling us to humble ourselves and continue to pray and to pray for all things, for our fields, over our crops, over our houses, over our household, both morning, midday, and evening. We have to be faithful in that. And that'll strengthen us and strengthen those around us. Our jobs, our crops, our cars, anything. We ought to make that a matter of prayer, and the Lord will bless us. I'm going to go to third book of Nephi. Fourth chapter. Here is that scripture I referred to before. O ye that are spared, because you are more righteous than they, will you not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. Behold, my arm of mercy extended toward you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as will believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. goes on, he says, you no more have to do the shedding of blood and sacrifice, but come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And who's the verse 50, and whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him I will baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and come to me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. We have to come in that same faith that we see with these little ones. Same innocence, a complete desire to do the will of the Father. And he'll bless us. So we are charged to being examples, to being the light on a hill. We're charged to be aware, to be watchful of the forces of evil around us, and not to allow ourselves to be dragged away and caught up in them, but to be stand and to be an example and to recognize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're to be spiritual warriors. We're to pray and allow the Lord to direct us in our life, to help us to make the decisions, to give us strength to be good examples, to rely on him, to come before his throne in prayer and supplication and allow him to lift us up and comfort us, because he will, and direct us. He'll admonish us, but he'll teach us that we might have eternal life. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says all this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our whole duty is to fear God, keep his commandments, and he will bless us. He will recognize us. When we stand at that judgment bar in our weaknesses, he will stand and be our mediator. He will say, these are of me. These are my sons and my daughters, Lord. These are those that you have sent me. And we'll be allowed in. May the Lord bless us in our desire. May we remember to keep each other in our prayers, both within our congregation and our families, but our brothers and sisters throughout the world. We have to be united in our prayers. I know your brothers and sisters in Kenya and Tanzania remember you and their prayers. They appreciate your prayers for them. We have to be steadfast and immovable. I'm amazed. They look forward to the time when the Lord will gather his people. Wonderful promise of Zion, place of refuge. I was going to read the sixth chapter of Ephesians and that. I'm running out of time. Can't do it all at once. Wonderful hope. The two places of refuge. The Lord will protect us from the things of Satan around us and the destruction that will go around us. It will only be that through his protection, through following his commandments and being numbered among the righteous, that we'll be able to dwell on earth with him, contrary to a popular teaching in the world, here on earth for 1,000 years. I look forward to that time. I don't look forward to some of the trials and tribulation to get there, but I look forward and have hope in the promises of Jesus Christ. Thank you.